It's time for the Extreme Gaming Podcast with Gray, Trev, Matt, and Tarl, my gaming buddies.
Ooh, did you like fantasy. That? My gaming buddies. It's not me. It's Dave, our epic guy, man. He's the one who's talking.
It's a little upgrade. I like it.
Dave's I like it character. Too. Although Dave's very cheesy.
I gotta change it up every so often. Kind of the same thing on. Anyway, Extreme Gaming Podcast episode 276. You're listening to this on April 17th. We're recording on April 16th. I'm Gray Gamer 25, and everybody will introduce themselves. Go.
Hi, Trev as always.
And myself, Matt, also known as Irish Guardian. I nearly said exactly what it said there.
Can I just say that was changed last episode? You never fucking noticed by me.
I changed mine back, but I didn't know you said that until you started introducing yourself. Anyway, go, Tarl.
Yo, I'm Tarl from gamertech.org. Thank you for having me on again, guys.
Well, all right.
You're pretty much part of the team, man. So
you're one of us now.
That's you're part of us. Since Dave introduced you with your name, you're definitely part of the team. So you wouldn't have done it otherwise.
Oh, I love you guys.
Thank you. Anyway, join our Discord, discord.gg/extremegamingpodcast. That's discord.gg/extremegamingpodcast. Or if you can't remember any of that, just go Discord, Extreme Gaming Podcast. It'll pop up one way or the other. If you want to submit any questions to us, you can on the Discord, or you can email us at info@extremegamingpodcast.com. Game nights are generally Tuesdays at 8:30 BST. We've been doing it. We were a little light this week, just me and Matt. But normally we have more people. Anytime you want to join in, hook up to our Discord, come on in. Sometimes we've had up to 6-8 people sometimes, so... Yeah, come on in if you want.
Did you guys play last night then? What did you play last night?
Last week, Matt and I just played separate games, but we talked to each other the whole way.
Yeah, He was
playing the Shadows. I was playing AC Shadows. So
yeah.
How's that going?
I came fourth on the Warzone.
Oh
yeah, he was. You did good. How many kills did you end up with?
14.
14. Hey, that's good.
So yeah, that's Trev's training. That is on the hardcore maps.
So you never done? You had 30. You never done a great gamer and hid in a bush until then. You couldn't get 14
Damn
kills.
Nah.
Good deal, I guess. If you're very lucky.
I can hide in the bush. Yeah.
I normally get swatted when I'm in a bush.
I'm too big to be in a bush. That's what she said. Anyway, so.
That was poor nuns.
We're on all the socials, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and X. Most everywhere it's under Extreme Gaming Podcast, except for Screwy X, it's under Extreme Podcast.
Gray's learning.
By the way, y'all haven't noticed out there that listen to us regularly, we started a thing that we called EGP Quick Breaks. And what we've been doing is going back on our podcasts and taking the video out of it and making shorter stories, shorter episodes. Called Quick Breaks, and we've done 3 or 4 now. We've gotten a pretty good amount of views on them. So if you want to take a look at that, we have the shorts, we have the quick breaks, and of course we have the longer show as well. So just want to throw that in there so y'all knew it. We're gonna roll right into it because we got some time. A couple of the boys got to run off a wee bit early, so we'll try to squeeze in as much as we can. So let's start it off right away. We're gonna go into hardware and tech. Oh, wait a minute. Hardware tech/game news?
No game news today.
I was going to say, it's one or the other, man.
Great. Yeah, Tower Gamer said one big corner to play with, and I think this corner's too big for this man. Just saying.
All right, look, so hardware tech news.
I can handle the corner, all right?
Hardware tech news with Tarl.
But besides, I've only ever done one game review the whole time I've been doing this, so it's... going to be game reviews.
We're going to get you to do one or two more eventually. Don't worry.
I've been playing a lot of Pokemon games, old Pokemon games. So if you want me to review those, I can do that.
Sure, whatever you want, but not now. Go ahead into your
playing Black 2, and I recently played Soul Silver. So that's my jam at the moment.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Other than the usual tech jam. Which is what I'm usually doing on here. And something caught my eye this week. Actually, it's probably towards the end of last week now. And Gamers Nexus brought out a video which, well, I can be a little bit anti-NVIDIA. You know, I try not to be, but, you know, they kind of bring it on themselves.
I was just going to say that.
This is, again, a little bit, actually, it's quite a lot anti-NVIDIA. These are not my personal thoughts. I'll give you some of my personal thoughts, but these are just some facts and figures. So Gamers Nexus, they put together a load of data, and I'm going to put something on the screen, actually, if that's all right. Let me just try this. Share screen. Oh, God.
If this is the video, it'll be a janky mess.
I can put it in later, Tarl, if you want.
I think I can do it. Here we go. Ready?
Well, remember, we're audio, so you're going to have to explain all this.
All right. Okay. So, Gamers Nexus. Yeah, thank you. Gamers Nexus put together this tasty little slide. Now, there's a lot of data going on here, so I'll try and explain it a little bit. But basically, the blue bar along the top is the flagship model, so the 3090, 4090, and now the 5090, and it's talking about the amount of CUDA cores that the graphics card has inside it. And you can see that the 90 series has been fairly flat, went down a little bit in the 40 series and stayed about the same on the 50 series. But the really interesting stuff is if you look at something like, and the really, really interesting one is the 70 series. So if you look at the green bar, which is the 70 series here, you can see that the 5070 down at having 41% CUDA cores of the 5090 is approximately the same as the same amount of CUDA cores proportionally if you go back to a 2060. The 9050. Sorry, so we're looking at the orange bar for the 70. My bad. And I just, with all the things that are going on in video at the moment, this just blows my mind a little bit, because what this data shows is that slowly but surely over the generations, you know, over, I don't know, what's this, the last 10 years, they've been slowly just shrinking the performance of their GPUs. So the CUDA cores, if you're not aware, this is essentially the brains of your standard kind of shader graphics. So this is what makes your graphics fly, right? And they're shrinking them. So looking at this orange line, you can see that when it got to the 30 series, it just dropped. Quick,
Carl, quick question. Well, when you say shrinking, are you talking number of CUDA cores?
Less of them.
Well, proportionally. So we're talking about proportionally compared to the flagship. So you have to compare each line with the flagship, which is the 4090, the 5090.
Well, what I'm talking about is it the number of CUDA cores. You said shrinking. There's two different things.
Yeah, so the number of CUDA cores probably has gone very steadily up, but... happened is that when you look at the amount that you're paying for each one of those CUDA cores, you know, I don't have this kind of math on me, but you know, the amount you're paying, the dollar per CUDA core is going to be, you know, wildly higher. But the big takeaway from this, I think, is that they've been shrinking the performance of the cards slowly but surely over the last 10 years or so. I've got a second slide, which I wanted to just go through as well. And hopefully, if I just change this here, this will... Yeah, there we go. Right, so these are the prices. These are the prices now over the same period. And you can see there's... the flagship class, for instance, there. So starting at the 700 series and 900 series, when it gets to the 10, which was the 1080 Ti, and it goes to the 2080 Ti, it's basically... spikes massively, oh, yeah. Which is this blue line here. And then it just stays going up and up and up. So, and what we can see here is, in the previous graph, where everything else proportionally was going down, at least from the 30 series, everything here, which is the price bar, is going up since the 30 series, and was still slowly going up before that as well. So it's a double whammy, guys. They're shrinking the performance while simultaneously increasing the price slowly but surely.
Yeah, and it's not even it's exponential too, because it's like it's increasing the price far faster than anything else. And yeah, to not get the quality that we expect, especially at those high prices, that's like a joke.
Yeah, Trev, you have a question?
I decided to not do a gray and interrupt. I was the teacher maneuver. Put your hand up, please, sir. May I speak? I think I know the answer to this one. Well, it always comes down to money, doesn't it? That's the obvious one. But the answer behind the money one is they're relying more on their machine learning and upscaling tech and taking away the other side of things, because they're all in an AI, which you, Taro, me, probably Gray and Matt to an extent as well, but us two being the big major hardware guys here, hate that. Because we love Rasta performance. It's all about Rasta performance. Like the bells and whistles is the machine learning and upscaling. And I like that stuff, but that shouldn't be the main side of it. It should just be the thing to boost you up, the little bonus. It shouldn't be the main. CUDA, rasterization is what I'm all about. I'm not a fan of what they're doing, but I'm not surprised.
No, many people share that sentiment, Trev, for sure. What I think is happening is that they're basically shrinking the CUDA performance, the rasterization performance, and they're going to slowly replace that with the AI performance, right? So whereas now we've got up to 3 fake frames for each real one, you know, in a few generations, it could be 10 fake frames for each real one. Who, you know, I don't know how it's going to go. But what I am certain on is that NVIDIA will be very likely to want to replace hardware level processing with software level processing, because it's way, way cheaper to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Once they've developed the software, and they can then increase the performance of that software scaling, then, you know, it's exponential performance, but basically no extra cost in terms of, you know, how they build the card. So I think we're at a point now where it's a difficult period, because the AI is nowhere near good enough yet. Because you know the fake frames still adds a lot of latency, it still doesn't look that great, there's a lot of ghosting, etc., etc. So we're in the point where they're reducing the rasterized performance, but the AI performance isn't there yet. So if they could replace it like for like, right, and it was, you know, extra software or AI performance and get rid of the hardware performance, I think people like me and you, Trev, and other people that are, you know, interested in the tech side, they probably wouldn't be, you know, so hurt about this and, you know, feel so like hard done by, because if you're just replacing one, you know, good performance with good performance, you know, I'm okay with that. But
But we know, Taro, that while we might still hate on them for being greedy and whatnot, NVIDIA, they still have the best GPUs on the planet. And they still have the best machine learning upscaling tech out there. It is the best. I'll get to my bit later on where I talk about getting AMD GPU in my machine at the moment and the reasons why I went down that route. But nothing beats DLSS 4.0. They've done comparisons with FSR 4.0, and FSR is getting better, a lot better, second place now, safe to say, but it doesn't touch DLSS yet.
Yep, and once the software suite and the AI stuff is you know, up to par, it should be fine. But we're in a period, I think, for the next, I don't know, 2-3 years where, to be honest, the GPU value proposition, it's not great. It's really not great.
if you can, Charles, you can take that down. So that we're
there's one more slide I wanted to show you, actually, just before I came on the pod, I saw that there was a Linus Tech Tips video that basically said, we're not reviewing the 5060 and the 5060 Ti because, well, fuck NVIDIA, basically, is what they said. Here's a slide from NVIDIA's release of the 5060 and the 5060 Ti saying 50 times performance for tens of millions of gamers. I'm sure if you look at this, you can probably realize that this is smoke and mirrors, and quite a lot of it. Because if you've got a 1060 and you're comparing versus a 5060 Ti, there's probably, I don't know, one or two games that give this kind of performance, and it's a complete and total outlier. So yeah, Linus said we're not reviewing it because they're being anti-consumer, they're being anti-customer. And,
yes, come on, Linus.
I say well played to Linus because someone's got to push back. Like Nvidia has got 90% of the market and they are being anti-consumer as hell.
And he's the biggest in the market for that at the moment, in terms of YouTube view. So
yeah. Yeah, and if Linus starts doing this when, you know, clearly that they're taking the piss, then hopefully others will as well.
They don't care about us though, Tal. They make, what was the percentage of money they make from us compared to their AI and data center stuff?
It's a blip. It's like, you know, I mean, it's less than 1%. You know, it's tiny. So
Nvidia should be doing, like we mentioned a little bit before, they should take the division that takes care of GPUs for gaming and whatnot off as a separate division and let them run that division and do the best job that they can, and then let the other division run all the AI stuff. Because what's happening is that, and we've said this many times so we're blue in the face, but when it comes down to it, NVIDIA doesn't care about gamers anymore. Absolutely does not care. They're too busy doing all this other stuff. They're getting higher and higher into the whole AI market. People that invest in NVIDIA are all gaga because they made 10, 20 times their money already. Mm-hmm. And we are getting completely forgotten, guys. I mean, completely. When you start seeing stuff like this, like you just showed Carl and other stuff before that we've been seeing, and the driver issue is still there. They put out another set of drivers, but it didn't really solve everything. There's so many people out there.
That was supposed to have fixed it.
Yeah, sure. There's still people out there getting black screens. I saw a guy on today just did a video a couple hours ago, and he's still getting some black screens. It might be less.
Yeah.
The other thing I noticed too is when I do editing and stuff for our podcast and everything, I run Adobe Premiere Pro. Never crashed on me. Maybe once in a blue moon. Ever since I loaded in the new drivers, the thing starts crashing more regularly now.
Yeah.
And I got to start shutting off.
The shoe is really on the other foot at the moment, isn't it?
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, and I didn't do anything different. None. Didn't install anything new except for the drivers. So now I've got to go in there and start like farting around and dumping all this stuff in the background till I got almost nothing, so it'll at least run Adobe for a longer period of time. But it's insane. I mean, they've gotten way out, and that pricing thing is we always knew it was out of control before this. I didn't think they could go any worse than this. They went from out of control to completely out of their mind.
I mean, everyone knows what they've been doing, but to see the data so, you know, put together so well and for it to be so like in your face is just it's a real punch in the face, you know. And it's funny about the drivers as well, Gray, because it's always been that AMD have been known for having the mm-hmm. driver issues, and I've got an AMD card. I've got a 7900 XTX, and it hasn't crashed on me for months. But of course, now Nvidia have got driver issues, which
I don't remember who the guy was in the video, but when I was watching it, he did the same thing. He took out, he had a 5090. He took it out because he does a lot of editing. That's part of his business. So he took it out and he dropped in the AMD, and that was it. Everything was fine.
Yeah, I mean, let's be clear: the Nvidia GPUs are still better than the AMD GPUs, especially if you're doing any kind of professional workloads or if you're a serious content creator. But if you're just gaming, I think it's AMD all the way at the moment, honestly. And the new 9070. Let's talk about the 9070 because I've got something I want to talk about here as well. An article in PC. Oh, and by the way, just wanted to clarify those charts made by Gamers Nexus, and the last one was an Nvidia chart as well, just so that everyone knows. 9070 PC Gamer have an article out at the moment where someone has BIOS flashed and overclocked his RX 9070, which is the lower version, and it outperforms the RX 9070 XT, which is the higher version. And so this is not a difficult thing to do. For those that are technical, they'll hear that and they'll think, great, I can do that in 2 minutes. If you're not technical, it's perhaps, you know, a little bit of a thing that might be a bit difficult for you. There's some guides and things you can get online, but essentially you need to download some software. You need to run that software that then changes the kind of the software brain of your graphics card, and then use some more software to dial up the numbers a little bit. And there's a $50, or in the UK I think £50 or £60 difference in the MSRP between them. That's pretty good, you know. That's like 10 minutes of work, and you've just saved yourself £50-60. That's
once
fantastic.
Again modders to the rescue.
Yeah, and I went on Amazon. I'm on Amazon now, and I'm having a look at the actual prices. And the cheapest 9070 you can get on Amazon is £627. The cheapest 9070 XT is £696. So what's that? That's like 70 quid difference. Mm-hmm. So it's real that, you know, you can buy the cheaper version, spend 10 minutes and make it as good, if not better, than the more expensive version. And which is good as well, because the more expensive version, the XT, is out of stock. It's just out of stock everywhere. You know, there's some, but it's just, it's the more popular model by a country mile. Hopefully this will mean that they'll be able to, you know, sell some of the non-XT versions as well. What do you guys think about this?
I think it's from a coolness factor, I think it's pretty cool. Of what he did. As far as the difference in price, I mean, I'm not trying to sneeze at 70 quid or 70 bucks, you know, I understand. But if there was a difference of 100, 150, 200, I would say I'm going to go that route. Give me the documents on how to do it. And yeah. I would definitely do it. But from a technical standpoint, that's pretty cool. Look at the guy we talked about last week that used an iron on his CPU to delit it, make it go 6 gigahertz. I'm amazed. People out there are smart, man. They come up with some stuff. I mean, I don't get it, but it's pretty neat.
This is so easy because it's essentially the same card. You know, it's just running at the less expensive one. It's just running at a lower clock speed. So all you're doing essentially is just allowing it to hit that higher clock speed because it's essentially the same thing. So quick and
easy.
You know,
it's almost like, I don't know if you guys remember this, but years ago, some vehicles as well as some of these motorized scooter things, whatever, had what they call the governor, and the governor on it would allow it to only go so fast. Now, no one could thought about taking the governor off at the time, but in a sense, that's what it is. It was already built to be better than it was, but they put something on it to hold it back. And so some smart guy got in there and just said, rip the governor off. And now they're flying. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
It's all in there. It's just a matter of like, who's smart enough to figure that out or to dial it up.
It's free performance, guys.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah,
I think it's worth it, definitely.
I think I would love to try it if I had money to burn just for the hell of it. It'd be fun.
Absolutely. Anyway, that's everything from my hardware, tech news, gaming, non-gaming corner today.
No problem, Corner.
To Matt.
We're going to move to game news. To game news? It says G-News.
G-News. I'm in the G's. Yeah, I'm not going to say what I was going to say then. Yeah.
So, you're up, Matt.
All I can think now is grab all of Musk's gears and overclock it. Overclock a Tesla, see what happens.
Oh, that'd be well good fun. I'm up for that.
Yeah, get one of
take
his
the
bots.
Governors off.
Yeah, get that shenanigans on the go. That's what I say.
Let's do it.
So, a couple of good kind of things I found this week, which is quite funny. The first one is, which I think you guys might remember this game. So, decades-old gaming mystery has been solved. HMCS, Bitter Uncovered in Legacy of Kain. Blood Omen have finally unveiled the secret ship level hidden for decades. Originally discovered in the game's files in 2010. Clues later hinted in a 2017 interview with the lead designer, Dennis Dyack.
Dennis Dyack?
Not to be
denied. It's
hard, don't forget.
This pointed to an elusive series of four invisible switches. After a determined hunt across remote in-game regions, including landmarks such as land and the land of the Nemesis and Malex Bastion. The community successfully activated the hidden entrance. This discovery not only validates long-held fan theories, but also highlights the era's innovative design secrets in a classic RPG.
There you go. That's enough for you to say.
That game is free at the moment, I'm sure, on Prime Gaming. Or is Epic, one of the two. It's free. So.
And it's a great game as well. I remember playing that back in the
day. I'm surprised they kept the lid on it for that long.
Never played it.
Yeah, it's taken loads of people, a lot of tries and efforts to locate this or even get some clues.
Anyway, like I was saying, there was recently an article out. I don't remember the name of the character, but the guy was playing Skyrim, and he decided to follow this well-known character in the game to see where he would go. So the guy followed him for God knows how long, right? And the character actually ended up somewhere, right? And then the character turned to the guy when he went to talk to him, and they went on an adventure. And I'm like, seriously? I said, they put all this in Skyrim like years ago? If for somebody who was willing to go that long and follow the character all the way out to the end, and then the character says, let's go on an adventure together. And so they did. I'm like, cool. You should do more.
I love little Easter eggs like that. That's very cool.
Yeah, I think that makes games a bit more in-depth and a little bit more interesting.
Hey, well, they don't do stuff like that now, man. Forget it. They don't do anything like that.
That's it.
Anyway, you want to talk a little bit more there, Matt, about some stuff?
So another thing, GTA 5 Enhanced and Normal Edition is out on Game Pass. Just throw that at your knickers right there. So also, there's been issues with Enhanced Edition, where many players are experiencing launch issues with GTA 5 Enhanced on PC due to factors like corrupted or missing game files, outdated graphic drivers, and conflicts with antivirus software. Frequently encountered errors, of course. The 7002.1 has been linked to problems with verifying game files and mod conflicts from the legacy versions. Community fixes typically involve verifying game file integrities, updating system components, drivers, DirectX, and your Visual C++ redistributables, and removing incompatible mods, though many are hoping for an official patch to resolve these issues. People also have seen that their game save files from the other edition won't pass to the enhanced edition. No,
that's awful.
Yeah, so they're having nightmares with that, as well as online gaming profiles as well. A little bit of issues there.
I would really be looking forward to GTA 6 after hearing that.
They can't
even get the enhanced version straight. I mean,
that's it.
God.
GTA is going to be on 32-bit instead.
The problem is they're setting themselves up to be like out of this world with GTA 6. It's got to be so much better than anything ever was created man. I know, I got to close my door. She's getting nuts. But mentioning my dog. I want to put her on the camera right now.
You should. She's better looking than you.
We'll give her a bone. Give that doggy a bone.
Gray, please bring a couple of pairs of jeans for you to the UK, please.
I know. I'm watching you wear that, whatever that is, so I get it. Yeah.
No, because I just came in and turned the heating on. It takes a while for it to...
No. But I'm going to have to buy one of those because I don't have one of those. In Florida, I don't need one.
So. A jacket. It's called a jacket, Gray. No, Most people in the world wear one.
My jacket is warmer. Mine are not like that.
I know.
I get told off in my jacket.
Anyway, let's give a pregnant pause. I'm going into my thing.
Yeah, do you?
Okay, so we have some more game news, and this time it comes to me. This is something that we've actually been talking about. There's been a leak on when the Oblivion remake, I don't know what they're calling it anymore. And apparently it's been corroborated by a couple different people that found this out as well. So are we 100% sure that this date is for real? Of course, we can't say that. But basically, the date that they're talking about is April 21st, which is actually coming up real soon. It's only going to be a few days. So I'm excited because, like I said, I loved Skyrim, but I would not go back as far as Oblivion because it's just the graphics are just too much. I couldn't do it. But now what I'm looking at is that they had a couple pictures that were leaked, apparently, and they showed a before and after. And wow, what a difference. Man, I don't know if you can call it a remake, man. I mean, I guess technically they have to because they didn't you know, go
remaster?
Back. No, remaster is really more for ground up, you know, with the exception of maybe the dialogue.
Is that not a remake?
I thought the remaster was just making the graphics better, and a remake was
Wait, here's the confusing part.
Thank you.
Here's the confusing part. The ad that I'm looking at right now says remastered, but they've been telling us remake for the longest time.
People are getting those phrases mixed up, mate. The clue is literally in the name.
Yeah, well, this is the issue. Nobody knows what the hell they mean. So
maybe the remaster to the remake to remake the remaster.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
Well, look, the way that it's always been before was that a remastered is built from the ground up, with the exception, the possible exception of the audio that was recorded. You know, the audio that the original recording.
That's all, folks.
Exactly, and maybe a couple of the music or whatever, possibly that would not. But other than that, it's built from the ground up. So that's not what supposedly this was, or at least that's what they were telling us. So in that case, it's a remake. But now I see remastered. So now I'm like, I don't know.
Not to be confused with Masters of the Universe either. That's another thing, completely different.
Or other kind of masters, but we don't want to get into that.
I think my understanding of remaster is a bit different to yours, Gray, because you know, when you if you think of music, you know, when you've got an old album and then someone remasters the album, all they're doing is using like the original recordings and just tighten them up a bit, right?
Yeah.
Right, I agree. But I don't care in the long run. I don't really care, because all I know is what I'm looking at, it looks really good. So I'm really looking forward to playing it now, because it'll be the Elder Scrolls 6 ain't coming out anytime soon. So if we get the Oblivion, at least that'll be kind of fun.
And Greg, just to add to that, I'm sorry, I don't think you mentioned this part, that they were saying in other news gaming sites that that literally could be shadow dropped at any time straight in the Game Pass, because Microsoft are on a roll this year with the games they're releasing. So it could just turn up there any day over the next week.
They are knocking them out.
Well, if it does come the 21st, which I hope it does, then yeah, we might see a pop up on Game Pass. That would be nice. I can't see how they wouldn't do it. I mean, why? Why? I mean, they own them now, Bethesda. So
yeah, that's why.
Yeah. So all good to me. So I can't wait for that. That'd be, as if I didn't have enough games to play that I haven't even gotten to yet. Like Adam
Hall. What do I always say, Greg? What do I always say to the people that complain and bitch and moan? Yeah. Oh, I've got no new games, nothing decent new to play. I want to come over there with a Batman and Robin slap and just slap them over the face like the meme and go, have a look at your Steam library, your main culprit. Have a look at your Epic library, your GOG library, your Microsoft Game Pass, and that's just in bloody PC.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're not even counting consoles. For me, it's like there is lulls occasionally. Yes, I understand. But most of the time, there really isn't, because games seem to be coming out. And if you're into indies, then you never can not play a new game, because it's coming out all the time.
That's why PC wins best for indies.
And there's always great new indie games coming out, right?
Oh yeah. There's, like I think we went over this before. There's something like 40 to 50 games that come out a month.
Mental.
And you don't hear about most of them. You know, it's tough. So I mean, we've been trying to cover a little bit on some of them, you know, and stuff here and there, but still. The other article I thought was interesting, I didn't really know a lot about, was Ubisoft, of course, back in the news again with that. They can't win, man. Ubisoft apparently had a lawsuit going against the crew, and the lawsuit basically came down to that they insist, this is Ubisoft talking now, they insist that we do not own the games we buy. So they flat out said this without even, like, you know, thinking twice about it. So it's because it's all coming out.
Quiet part.
Well, anytime you go to legal battles, you start hearing about stuff that, because they have to say it, they don't have a choice. Yep.
Well, Ubisoft, screw them. Listen, it's their own fault. I had the article down as well, and that's why I was wanting to talk about it. Also, they spoke the truth. Mm-hmm. But they shouldn't have said that, because of the position they're in. That's just like beating yourself over the head before, just after you've dug your own grave, basically. I don't see why they've done that, because rumour has it, Gray, that you're the only one actually keeping them afloat with your membership. So if you go, they are screwed.
I only go there when it's cheap enough. Otherwise, I won't do it.
That's brilliant.
I guarantee you, when mine expires sometime in June, they're going to come back to me and go like, well, listen, if you stay around.
How much did you pay again? Like, you need to find out, because the full price is a rip-off, but if you generally played half the full price for the year.
I paid half the price.
I knew. Well, do you know what that is off the top of your head? No.
Not. It's been a while now. I don't remember. I can look it up next time. But
yeah. It's good value for half price for a year. Half price for a year, yes. And because you play their games a lot. But you need to play more than a couple of titles to get your money's worth out of it, I think.
Well, that depends first of all, I still play Division 2, so that's good. But on the AC games, when they do come out, when they're supposed to come out, I put in a lot of hours in those games. I mean, on AC Shadows, I'm already up to like 30 hours, and I'll be putting in at least 100, 150 easy. And I got the deluxe edition as well. So to me, it's worth it just for that. I mean, to be able to play on the deluxe edition, which I would never pay for. But I can go ahead and play it now, and so it's, you know, and then there's a couple other games too. At, you know, like we've been playing Anno, which was funny because earlier if you guys were in the Discord, Trev had posted that Anno, apparently the one we've been playing, Anno 1800, is now going to come to Game Pass, and a couple of us already bought it, but luckily not for a lot, so it wasn't expensive, you know, or anything. Yeah,
that's the point. It's the principle. It's not about the money.
Yeah, no, I agree. That was kind of weird. Like, wait a minute.
We should have seen that coming.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is probably
a couple of bottles of pop right there.
This is probably the way Ubisoft's been doing a lot of weird
stuff
because they're losing money, so they're trying to find ways to prop themselves up.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows what's going to happen? Look, that new Division.
I hate being milked.
Yeah, I agree, but you know, it also hurts sometimes. But anyway,
it does. Yeah.
To talk about AC Shadows a little bit, I wanted to get back to it a little because now that I played a bunch more. I really like the game a lot. I do. I there's parts of the game I'm really enjoying, but there's also some parts in there that they still do that get me kind of nuts. Almost like stuff that they've done. It's not just a matter of cut and paste, actually. I mean, you can say that, but it's sometimes it's some stuff that I just don't understand why they always do it, or they should come up with a different way. And what am I saying? Like, for instance, in the last two games, and including this one, you have a grind part where you have to sit there and get supplies, and you get all the supplies together, and then go grind some more and get some more supplies, and then go grind some more and get some more supplies. And then you have to build up your hideout. And then, of course, in order to upgrade your hideout, what do you have to do? You have to go back out and grind again and get all. And I'm just like, oh, my God, come on already. I mean, there's a certain amount of grind I don't mind because you can do that while you're exploring, but then it passes the point where you're grinding to just grind, and it gets really annoying. And I'm going to admit right now, when that kind of crap happens, I run right to a cheat mod and I sit there and I go like, okay, and I just sit there and dial in the resources that I want because I would have done it anyway for hours, but instead of doing it for hours, I did it in 5 minutes.
So that way I can go on with the game. Like, your time is valuable, right? I mean, if they're going to waste your time by making you have to do this thing to progress the game, that's just shit. That's bad.
It's terrible, man. It's terrible.
Bad juju.
The only thing that they did do, I will give them credit here, is that when you go to upgrade your weapons, they made it far simpler than it used to be. It used to be really convoluted. Now you can go there, and if you have a piece of favorite gear, instead of it becoming useless after a while when you level up, you can continue to keep on leveling that gear up all the way to the top. And you can also do what they call engravings. So you can sit there and you can swap out engravings that are better on one weapon and put it on yours. So that's cool. That part is pretty neat. But trying to get there through that stupid grind is a real... And the other thing I don't like either, too, and you would think they would stop doing this. In a lot of the games, when your character is running along a rooftop, like a pitched roof, and he's running down the center line of the pitched roof, right? You want to turn and jump off that center line to the other part of the roof, right? No, your character keeps walking along the center line. So you're trying to turn while characters are shooting at you, and you're going like, get off the damn center line of the freaking roof. And you're sitting there spinning, you know, trying to get them off. It will do it eventually, yes. But it keeps on thinking you want to go forward on that center line more than it does go off of it to the right. Drives me crazy. Because I'll sit there and I'm in the middle of some really good stealth thing going on, and it totally blows it because they see me. Because why? I can't jump off the center line to hide. So it's kind of like, guys, this is like cheap crap. I don't want to take away from anybody that wants to play the game. On the other side of the coin, there's a lot of things I like about it, so I'm really having a lot of fun with that. But when I get stuff like that, man, I'm saving all the time, and I pop in a cheat code if I have to, because I am not going to sit there and spend you know, 25% of the hours that I put in on grinding and bullshit. No, I'm sorry.
Not cool.
No way, man. I thought I'd mention one other thing that I thought was kind of cool. I don't know whether you guys are into it, but did anybody here see the Minecraft movie?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
I did. You saw it? I took Indy to go see it, and we had loads of fun.
Is the movie any good? I'd imagine it wouldn't be very good. But
well, let me say, like, when I brought my granddaughter, we went to go see it. I was thinking, like, yeah, you know, whatever. It'll be what.
But you went to a cinema, Gray. What the hell? Really?
Once in a while, wow. I go. If it's usually the grandkids that will make me go for a movie that they want to see, so that's fine.
Yeah, I said to Gray, he is coming over to Scotland, as we know, to pay a visit. The end of June, I believe it is. He flies back a day or two before the Superman movie comes out. I mean, how selfish is that?
I don't blame you.
We could have went to the IMAX in Hell Times and ate popcorn.
And then trash the place.
I'll just change all my plans. It'll cost me twice as much. But hey, no.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Sure. Sure. Well, Taro, I did see it. I just was curious as whether what you thought as opposed to your kid. What did you think?
You know what? I thought it was not terrible. I mean, it's not a great film. Let's be honest. Like, you know, the plot and the
character
motivations
story?
And, you know, the Deus Ex Machina plots, devices and all this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, I laughed. I enjoyed it. And it was fun. I actually thought it was pretty good.
I was actually surprised that I liked it as much as I did, because I figured I would just, you know, it was just there and I was fun to be with her. You know, but I'm looking at this thing and I'm going like, well, this isn't so bad. There was some funny stuff going on.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of like it's hard to explain. Like you said, it's not a stellar movie per se, but it's just a fun romp.
It's not going to win any Oscars.
No, and it doesn't have to.
Turn your brain off and kind
of
enjoy it.
But look what it's doing at the box office. Holy moly, it's going crazy.
Yeah.
I mean.
What's the big guy in it? Momoa.
Jason Momoa?
Jason Momoa is in it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. I really thought I was going to hate his character, but actually
yeah, so did I.
Really likable.
He was. He's a good actor. I was surprised, too, that him and Jack Black really worked well together. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. I think it's worth seeing. If you can go to the cinema for like a fiver, which luckily I can, then I think it's pretty fair. Yeah.
I think if you like the game, if you play the game, you obviously like the movie. But even if you don't play the game like I don't, and neither did my granddaughter, it was much more fun than I thought it was going to be.
Yep. So that's the main thing, mate. That's the main thing.
True. One other thing I wanted to cover that I just thought would be kind of fun is I have a top 10 game list from PC Gamer, but this is the top 10 games over the last 6 months. And I wanted to see whether what you guys thought about this or whether you even played the games. Because a lot of times we look at them and go like, what game was that?
Okay.
And all these games are either rated a 10 by them, a 9, or an 8. I didn't go any lower than that. So up at 10, they said Split Fiction. I haven't heard of it.
Must be good. I don't know much about it, though.
I've heard a lot of good things about this from my friends that play games, and they say it's really good.
Yeah. I haven't heard much about it, but I'm wondering whether we should mess with it. It sounds interesting. The next one was Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, but we've heard of that and we know it's good.
Really?
Some of us have played it, so obviously that's one that we know of. This next one I've never heard of either. It's called Blueprints.
That's just been released on Xbox.
Yeah, it was released April 10th.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I have no idea what that's all about either. And there's the next one is Cabernet, which sounds like a wine.
I'd have that if it was in the bowl.
I thought maybe it was some cheese.
Yeah. I thought maybe it was a wine a simulator or something. But
wine simulator, why not? There's a simulator for everything else.
Absolutely, yeah.
So far we're batting real well on the games we haven't heard of. Anyway, the next one is The Rise of the Golden Idol.
That sounds like another Indiana Jones game.
It doesn't it?
Should be, yeah.
I never heard of that one. The next one we've all heard of, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, which I only played a little, enjoyed it, and let alone the whole game. Dragon Age of Veilguard is next, which I don't understand. They rated it 8, which means great. And that game is not great, not compared to the previous Dragon Ages.
Yeah, so but that's... the money they received from the publisher was great, so they gave it an 8.
Yeah. Well, they do know the people that people did not like the game as much as the previous ones either. That you can look up. It's easy.
Yeah.
The next one was Dragon Quest III HD 2D Remake.
I want to play this. I'm a big sucker for Japanese RPGs, so yeah. This is on my list.
But it's funny, they want HD 2D Remake. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Shadow comes in next at 8. Their ranking was 8, which seems to be pretty standard, because a lot of people that are reviewing AC Shadows have been giving it around an 8, which is good. Maybe not as good as they would like, but it's good. And Monster Hunter Wilds is also in the last place, number 10, if you can call it last, that they also voted 8. So out of those 10, we haven't heard of at least 5. Four or five. So
yeah.
Well, I haven't played a single one.
Yeah, well, that's only because you don't play as much. I expect that. That's okay. But that was kind of cool. But to keep in the vein of the game news, we're going to move along to Trev. He's got a bunch of stuff to cover. So take her away, Mr. Trev.
As always, I always have plenty of shit to talk about. I mean, quality gaming news content. Naughty Dog. We know who they are, even if we don't play their games.
You naughty dog.
I can say that to my dog if she starts barking again.
Poor Coco's getting it tight today, isn't she, man? Jesus Christ. The Last of Us is the main thing. Naughty Dog have come out with another Last of Us special edition game release. Yet another one. And it's pretty obvious. It's because The Last of Us Season 2 has started the other day, a couple of days ago, on HBO. I want to say, and Sky Atlantic in the UK, and we won't get into that. That's for like Capes and Phasers type channel stuff. But to be fair, Naughty Dog decided to release another special edition of The Last of Us Part 1 and 2 in one kind of box art type effect, where there's like stickers and some pictures in there, little odds and ends. And they thought they would charge $120. Or £110 for the physical edition, or $100 or £95 for the digital version. Naughty Dog, do I need to, in my tour of the world of economics, teach you guys again how currency exchange works? Even if you add on VAT and blah, 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 you're still absolutely bending over the Brits backwards and having your way. It's not how the exchange rate works, you idiot. Sorry, it's always a rant. I will continue, Alan. There's a comic in this as well. Like, Gray can maybe pull up a picture of it from the Link of Included. This is more aimed at people that don't either A, have the game or one of the games because they've seen a TV show, thought they'll get it, or for the diehards that want the collector's edition of it. I very rarely go back and play a game a second time. I have played both parts and thoroughly enjoyed them. If I go back and play them again, I will play the enhanced PS5 Pro editions of them, but I'm not in a rush to do so. So that is out on July 10th, probably to coincide with the end of Season 2, probably. I'm not really surprised by this, boys. No one here is surprised that they're Sony stroke Naughty Dog. It's Sony. They own them, essentially. Trying to make money out of punters again.
Mm-hmm.
Especially at $120 bucks. I mean,
yeah.
Is this the second or third time they've had some kind of special?
Yeah. So I've lost count. Really? Right? So there was the original games, and then the original Last of Us came out on PS3, so they brought a PS4 edition, then they brought a PS5 edition, then they brought out an upgraded edition for the Pro and whatnot, and then they brought out this special edition, and then probably if you go into Marvel's kind of multi-world context, there's multiple editions of the bloody game out there as well. But they're everywhere. There's just no need. Stop being so greedy, man. Anyway,
well, right away you've already named like 5 editions. Did you have to pay? What kind of a price did you have to pay for each one as they came out?
The first game I got as the stay-at-home thing that Sony done. It was a free game. The second one, I got a second-hand disc because it was a PS4 edition.
Not what you paid for. Generally speaking, how much did they charge every single time, like when they put out edition?
They've never done the box edition of both of them together like this. They've just done the game separately, and they'll tend to charge MSRP.
Oh, so this is both of them?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. This is together. Yeah, that's why it's so much. It's part one and two. So
okay. That's not so terrible then, right?
Well, it is if you... They'll make some sales, but it is aimed for people that don't have them or the diehards that want the collector's edition. Because I say there's like a steel bookcase, there's a comic in it, there won't be any faking disc in it, even for the physical edition, no doubt. I bet you're going to check for that little detail. You know there won't be. They always just put a bloody download code in there. Don't know why they do that. It's laziness infuriating. But yeah, so we're not surprised by that. The next thing is, I wasn't sure whether to bring this up or not, but I think we need to put our serious hats on for a moment. I know that's all difficult. Don't laugh in the back, Matt. I can see you. This is a serious topic, this one. And the reason I bring it up is it's a wider context. I'll try and not make this point go on too long because it could be a pod in its own right. Steam game promoting sexual assault removed from sale in the UK, Australia and Canada. Now, don't really need to get into the nitty-gritty of what this game's about and blah, blah, blah. I don't think that's the place really for it. However, how does this get by the censors at Valve? And the reason I ask this question is the biggest trash simulator for games in this planet is the Nintendo eShop, actually. It's got crap in there. It's got hentai stuff and God knows why when it's Nintendo and they're a family company and all that. They're basically the Disney of the gaming world. So you see someone like Steam, someone like Valve, who run a great service. They've got lots of quality checks in place. And Taro was discussing a couple of weeks ago about how it is a great service and they do a lot for the gamer and the publisher out there. And I mean, mostly agreed and everything. And then this one manages to get past the censors. It's really, really disappointing that someone would make a game like this. Yeah. And then Valve doesn't block it straight away.
That is shocking.
I don't get it. Like, this is absolutely disgusting. I was looking to see if there was any... this was dated 10th of April, right? So it's nearly a week out of date. But at the time, Valve hadn't pulled the game from sale outright, meaning it still could be bought in some other regions. So I'm not going to say what the game is. I'm not going to say what the actual problem is because I don't want people going Googling it and trying to find it. But it is disgusting that this was not blocked. No comment from Valve yet either at the time, according to this article.
Someone clearly either dropped the ball or the thing that I worry about sometimes when I see things like that is to whether they're doing... How can I say this? I'm not trying to make it sound like they did it on purpose, but a lot of times they like to stretch the envelope. And see what happens. So that if they stretch the envelope and they didn't get too much flack for it, they let it go, you know? And this time, I think it kind of bit him in the butt. So, because I was just kind of looking through it a little bit as you were talking about it, Trev, and some of the stuff that I'm reading in here, I was thinking like, you know, how bad is it? And then when I look at it, I'm going like, ooh, that's okay. There's a few things in there that you would think would pretty much stand out for any kind of a censor at Steam. And yet, it got by, especially with AI these days, right? I mean,
Mr. Tal.
Yeah.
I just have one question, and I don't know if anyone knows the answer to this. And this is not me trying to get Valve off the hook, but how do we know, like, how much of the kind of checks for this stuff is automated, and how much of it is, you know, a person doing the thing, you know, just going through and checking stuff? I imagine it's probably quite automated, right? So probably something like this will slip through the gaps every now and then. And as I said, I'm not trying to put them off the hook because this is clearly not good enough. And they should
maybe I'm wrong,
stopped
Carl, but
this from being on the shop.
To play the other side for a second, I tend to think with something that to me, is that simple that the AI would actually do a better job. Because basically, once you program the computer to be looking for obvious things that I'm seeing, it will pick it out every single time. Whereas a human
error is...
Right, a human will make the mistake. So I tend to believe either that they tried to stretch the envelope a little bit, or whoever was the sponsor, the censor on this needs to be fired because that's like quite blatant in front of your face. I mean, how do you excuse it? I just don't
call Valve, do better.
Well, a lot of it is automated, yes, to be fair, because you can't have a person playing through every single game, but I don't understand how a game like that could still get past AI and checks and whatnot. It's just
Right.
I mean, anyway, at the very least, it should have been flagged, right, for them to go and look at it again.
Second opinion. They teach you. I do a lot of AI stuff recently at work, and we use Gemini a lot, which is Google's version of it. And one of the rules that we always drill down users' throats is, use the tool. It's great. It's brilliant. It enhances your workload and blah blah blah. Don't rely on it, and proofread and check everything, because you could end up in your P45, and for the Americans out there, that means you get sacked. So, got to be careful.
The pink slip over here.
Pink slip, that just sounds like a slip for ladies or something.
Fast and Furious when they race for each other's cars?
Maybe that's where it came from.
No, years and years ago, when somebody was fired, they were written up. And it was on a pink slip, and they said, "Here you go, you're fired." So the expression has traveled or has held up all these years to where obviously you're not getting a pink slip anymore if you get fired. But they all say,
"Damn, Greg, you're going to have to edit this out as well. You had too much fun there with that tangent. You're going to have to edit this out, man. That sucks. I'm sorry, my man. I apologize.
No problem.
I'll wind you up. Right, moving on. I gave that article too much time and attention. I didn't want to. It just had to be brought to attention.
I like
then,
the next one you're going to talk about.
Yeah, I know you do. I got there first, so I'm glad you've done your homework. Now, Grey hasn't played this nowhere near enough. Either have I, to be fair. And Shrouded's at it again. Best game of 2024, as voted, I think, by at least Gray and I. Well, it is mine. I think it was yours or one of yours, Gray. It was. Mm-hmm. It was a bloody good game. It was a. I don't know if they're an indie studio at the time. I think they were at least anyway. Small studio, let's put it that way. And they brought out an early access game that's the most polished early access game I've ever seen in my life, and that's Enshrouded. It's got a new update out as well. And it's called New Thralls of Twilight. This is going to celebrate basically 4 million players of the game, which for a small game is very, very impressive. Yeah. Grey can probably put in the teaser because it's only 45 seconds long.
Yep, I saw it.
And it looked pretty good, Grey. It looked pretty good. It was a mixture of things, to be fair. It was some new content, but it was also balancing tweaks as well for combat. Add mods to your weapons. You mentioned the word mod, Gray's ears twitch. and balancing tweaks, survival mechanics in the game, etc., etc. It's going to come out in May 2025. Now, it is only a teaser trailer available at the moment, so we don't have a full list of things that are going to be there. However, we will come back and add some more content to this. It's free, again, of course. It's nothing that's been paid.
Not charged for anything so far.
Not a penny, not a dime. Their aim was to come out of early access by the end of this year, I think, in the roadmap. But to be fair, it is pretty much a 1.0 release anyway, essentially, in all but name. It's that polished. It generally, we had so much fun, man. It's a shame. The multiplayer side of things wasn't better. I mean, you could play together, but you weren't sharing missions. You had to each of you go in and do the mission for you to get something from that, which is counterintuitive. So, Taro, you haven't played this game, I'm pretty sure, because you don't play games. You just have like powerful PC and play Pal World. Am I about right there?
I think I play approximately 10 minutes of games per week.
That's about right, yeah.
That's just a sad state of affairs.
Just enough to tickle Pikachu and then got off. Oh, sorry, the Pal World version of Pikachu. And then got off.
We're going to get Pokemon.
You are. Once we get more details on this, like Grey will stick in a little teaser trailer as well to whet your appetites. It looks good, to be fair. It really does look good. Right. Next thing I've got. We don't need to stick anything in for this, Grey, and I'm purely talking about this because I genuinely love the game.
Right.
That is Rust that I've talked about in the past, the game that keeps constantly getting updates every single month and it doesn't charge a penny for it. There are DLCs that you can get and skins that you can get. That's how they make some of their money. But in terms of improvements and new content, they're bringing more to it. So 2 months ago, they had crafting update, which was basically there was things like chickens in it, farming, cooking 2.0, all that kind of stuff, fridges to keep food going, and you had to power the fridge, blah, blah, blah. And I love all that stuff because I call myself a bass bitch, right? The BB, the bass bitch is great. And Matt will confirm I'd like to stay at home cooking and all that. They would come back and basically like, where's my bloody dinner? Get it on the table, woman. You know, that kind of thing. So I was the home wifey there. I enjoy it. I let these tough, solid men go out and actually kill all the wildlife and animals. Gray went out and done all the farming stuff. He was having fun with the planters. He's putting these little flowers and stuff in there and getting frustrated at why it wouldn't work. There's another update out now. Another biome has been added, right? There's several biomes in Rust if you play it. There's several biomes. You have desert, you have basically Scotland, snow. is snow and cold and freezing and shit. you have what we call the foresty kind of area. This one is called the jungle biome. So it's a massive dial up from the forest kind of biome. And it literally does look like something out of Predator 1 by Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's awesome. Thick foliage everywhere. There is new animals in there. There's like panthers. There's tigers. They'll come at you and attack you. There's venomous snakes that you can capture and try and take the poison out of them. And there's blow darts as well. You can literally get the venom from the snakes. And then you can craft a blow dart. And you can shoot blow darts at your enemies. And what is going on here? And 2 minutes later, they fall down. They've got new skins in there as well. They've got for player skins and whatnot that you can get. Some are free, some are not. Crocodiles in the swamps. This is basically Gray's back door, essentially. Because he's got all that crazy wildlife there as well. He's got some of it. I always get mixed up between which one's freshwater and what one's seawater between crocs and...
Are you still talking about Gray's back door? Or?
There are saltwater and freshwater versions of the same species, so it's really...
Didn't know that. There you go. Didn't know that. Every day is a school day, people. There's blowpipes. Don't you laugh at the back, Matt. I can see you. Boomerangs, which they do come back to you. It's pretty funny, although it's the way they move, the animation's weird. New scientist as well, which is one of the big things you get in the game. It looks absolutely stunning, this biome. It really, really does. It's out on their staging branch at the moment, which is basically you can go and test it and break it.
Effectively,
you can go and break it. It's not live for everyone to play. It's a separate branch of the game. A guy called Shadowfrax, who gives you updates every week, essentially. He's the main kind of update person, news guy for Rust. He got about 13, 14 minute YouTube video of him playing it. It looked really, really cool. The aim is to get it out for the next update, which will be the first Thursday of May, and I'm going to give that a go. I really am. They will have their Easter event. They always have a Halloween event, Christmas event, and Easter event. And Easter event is you basically going about every... So Grail and Matt will remember this with the presents that were outside the base. It's the same thing here. You remember that?
Yeah.
Same, this is Easter eggs. Get our natural Easter eggs. How many eggs can you get? If you have a basket for them, you can collect more of them. You win prizes, that kind of thing.
So why don't we do that another Tuesday night already? Let's do it.
We could, but it's a kind of Pal World type game that you kind of need to put in more than one session to make it kind of work. So we could. It's definitely an option. I know most of us have the game.
I know Tarl's ready for it.
I'm ready.
He's born ready.
I can plant some plants and things.
Plants and plants. You can be a bass bitch as well.
I can use my pipe to blow.
I think we should get Tarl into it anyway, whether he wants it or not. That could be really fun.
Well, I want us to play it again because I want to see Gray in the bunny outfit and the bunny ears because that's something you can get. If you have a bunny outfit and bunny ears and you have a basket, you can collect so much quicker than you can without them. You just get a silly present. You can get an outfit that makes you look like a chicken. Literally makes you look like a chicken, like with just the body and the feet. And the good thing about this skin is you need to pay for this one. It's an expensive one. But you can draw or write anything on the body, so you could like draw a willy on there or something if you wanted to. On there, anything you want. It's like a whiteboard.
Well, I'll be the bunny. You can be a chicken. Do we have any other animals that the other guys?
Matt can be the willy. Yeah,
I got a bit excited there because I thought you meant that Gray would be dressed like a chicken in real life, and that would be quite fun.
He would make a good chicken man. He would make a good chicken man. I must admit. Yeah.
Hey, with AI, I could do that.
Yeah, you can do anything, mate. Yeah, so this is Gray. There's a teaser trailer for that, but it's not very good. I wouldn't really put that in, but it's entirely up to you, my man. I do love that. I just wanted to mention that the last thing I've got in my news, this is brilliant. This is fucking brilliant. And I purely share this for your guys' benefit. No one else, really, is this here. Doom and Doom 2 came out recently, right, as we know, and it launched in Game Pass for free. Now, limited games or limited run games are guys that bring out physical releases of games that tend to not come out physically, right? So they'll bring out the odd SNES or NES game, right, brand new from nowhere, or they'll bring out a physical game that publishers only decided to make digital, for example. So they thought they'd bring out Doom and Doom 2, right? And it would come out in Switch, PC, Xbox, or what ones did I miss out? PS5.
Yes.
And there's three editions. There's the standard edition, which is too bloody expensive because the game's only a few quid to buy, to be honest here.
This is good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't spoil it, Gray. Don't spoil it.
This version is too bloody expensive.
There's the big box edition as well, which, does it say what's in this one? Yeah, so you'll get more bells and whistles in this one here. The two games plus a lot of kind of DLC and stuff as well. Oh, there we go. Two-piece big box, a big box of it, to be fair. An audio cassette. So I need to find a bloody
cassette player. Seriously?
Yeah. There's trading cards. There is a digital code for the game. But here we go, right? And the physical edition of the... What were we on? Big box edition is $100, right? Yeah. Standard's $30. Mm-hmm. But then there is Will It Run edition. Now, there's a joke there. There's a joke there, people, because what can your room run the Doom on? They managed to run it on Alarmo, that alarm clock from Nintendo. Now, it's £666. It's $666.66, right? This is hilarious because there's only going to be 666 versions of this. I was so tempted to buy it. What it includes is, here we go, right? Everything I mentioned before, but there is a box. See this box here?
Mm-hmm.
It literally runs Doom. I shit you not, it runs Doom, and I was so tempted to buy it just for that. I mean, a box plays Doom now.
Yeah.
You guys were worried that Grand Theft Auto 6 was going to be too expensive.
Oh.
I'll have to hike the prices up a bit more now.
It looks like they've jumped the gun and they've risen the price a bit higher than $100, guys.
Oh, this is one-off, man. We can't compare them. This is taking a piss, but no one's making you buy this. It's fun.
Yeah, there won't be a lot sold, but they'll be worth it.
I can't at this price. I can't at this price. I'm sorry, I'm out at this price. However,
that's a lot.
It's got a floating, and I never know how to pronounce this, one of the demons... Cacodemon. Thank you. I'm a bad Rust fan. Kicked out of the Doom Slayers fan club. It's floating on a magnetic base. It does look pretty cool, I must admit.
Oh, that does look smart. Cool. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What else does it have that's different?
Is that a Tamagotchi?
It is. Yeah.
Cacodemon that plays Doom.
Yeah. So you've got box that plays Doom, right? Mm-hmm. You have Cacodemon and Tamagotchi thing that plays it. You've got trading cards. I'm sure I saw a red entry key card as well somewhere, but maybe I was high.
Really?
It includes Sigil 1 and 2. I've heard of the games, never played them.
Don't forget the cassettes, because everybody still has a cassette player.
Hey, yeah. I bought a VHS player recently so I could play old Rangers tapes in it, just for the nostalgia. See here? There's a CRT. It's underneath. I've got a Mega Drive there. I've got a PS1 there. It's happening, man. It's happening. Old retro alcove, I call that. So, yeah, listen, guys, it's batshit crazy. It is bonkers. And if I was rich, I'd buy that. That is bloody brilliant, man. Mm-hmm. It's just silly money. It's silly money on purpose. It's not $100 or pounds for GTA 6.
Right.
That's its own level of silly. This is just so bonkers. Everyone knows it's bonkers. You can't get upset at this. Don't buy it. Unless you're silly rich, you know.
Yeah, of course. Do we know any silly rich people that can buy it and then we can mess with it?
We could review it. Yeah, give us one to review that. Yeah. Box. But I mean, that's the title alone is brilliant.
Yeah, like run that. Edition. That was pretty cool.
That is. Do not get the PC version because that will be a digital download code. You mm-hmm. want one of the physical editions.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is me, Bossman, for today. Great.
All right, sounds good. So very nice. We're gonna switch back to game news, and Matt's got a couple of things to talk about.
There we go. Yeah, I have Astro Loot, which is one of the keys that were given to us for a review. I've got to say these. I also got Falklands as well. Both we have keys for, but they do have free demos out on Steam on there. So there you go. Just let that go in there. So Astro Loot is a wonderful old trinket that will bring you back to asteroids type game. This is on early access stage. During a fusion, fast pace, bullet hell action, and deep customizable gameplay. It defies the traditional loot mechanics as well, unlike many ARPGs. These rely on unpredictable luck-based systems. Astro Loot introduces a deterministic crafting where players can collect an assortment of dice which have a distinct effect, and they can proof for their final crafting for their ship and their outcomes before committing to a battle. The twists are pretty much you can gamble your build trope into exercise in a strategic foresight and your personal style, depending on what you want to go for. It's quite interesting. It's got like a tech tree as well that you can unlock certain awards, abilities, which is always good to have. Which is quite extensive, with over 1,000 different nodes and a variety of selectable ship archetypes, like the Leviathan, the Hyperion, and the Kronos. I think I had the Leviathan, if I remember. You've got a game that rewards meticulous planning and creative combat. I just swing around, throwing my bits all over the place to try and get as much as I can, and hopefully not get swiped by an asteroid or by some
sight.
Yeah, absolutely. It's chaotic, it's fun, it kind of adds a lot to what we used to play back in the day, I'd say. I gotta say it's early to mid campaigns where every battle crackles with enemies with energy, and the galaxy brims with untold secrets to uncover. It's quite adrenaline fueled. It's quite good. It is good. I kind of like this one.
What did you think of it, just from your personal standpoint?
Yeah, so from mine, it was quite interesting. You have this big ring of galaxy that you're allowed to play within. It's quite fast-paced. Enemies kind of bolt at you from other parts of this window that you have to play with. It's interesting. I like the tech tree a lot more. You have got a shop that you can actually, like, with the things that you get from blowing up asteroids, enemies, whatever they drop, you can take from that mission or level. And then you can either sell it on or use it to customize your ship to get better shields, better weapons, better boosters.
Is it a 2D game or no?
It is a 2D game. Yeah, yeah. So it's staged to the wonderful world of Asteroid that way. Right. But it's more colorful, a lot of things more happening around it as well. And with each level that you level up, there's like a certain bonus missions that you can go and do. Or you can skip that and go around and then come back to it, which is nice. You can also redo missions if you've done poorly. You can always go back and reloot those parts there. So yeah, it's quite nice. The sound was quite good. Yeah, I don't think there was anything lacking there. I didn't see any ways to change my ship to a different one. I probably didn't get that far enough into the game. I was too busy throwing things around and getting things from the tech tree, which I love the tech tree. There's so much going on in there. It is huge, vast, and you'll have like different aspects of what you can unlock. So you'll have like the physical, electric, that type of stuff, boosters, weapon
is there
boosters.
Is there maintenance you have to keep on your ship or anything, or not really?
No, pretty much no. I found it anyways. Like when you do die, you just restart from there again. So yeah, it's cool. So you don't have anything there. You can get like things that can repair your ship as you go into battle, and shieldings and like little flying drones to help you. So yeah, there you go. It's a pretty good game.
All right, and your second game, Falklands. Okay. What's that like?
Falklands.
The Falklands. Is that that place near Argentina?
The islands, no, that's the Falklands.
And Argentina's trying to take those islands back. They're ours. They're not getting them.
They can keep their islands, so they're going to be like this. This is Gray style 8-bit nonsense. So let me just say what it is first. So this is totally opposite to that part of the spectrum. Falklands, I should say, welcomes you into a very cozy, very retro inspired, it really is, world built on a nostalgic classic city builder, taking cues from Trailblazers as the settlers. I wouldn't go that far. Pharaoh. It's a resource gathering and modest settlement that gradually evolves into a thriving village with its charming pixel art. It is definitely pixel art.
Charming pixel art?
Charming. It is not charming at all. It's not. It hurts my eyes. My eyes are bleeding. You can keep your kidding on this one, I'm telling you. Sorry. So, yeah. It's simplistic, I guess. So that said, without having its quirks, some players have noted the tendency towards repetitive resource chains, cautiously soft locking. So there's quite a bit of neglect where you say you're going off to collect. So you build the city, you have this camp bit, but everywhere, you say you have your mine for your rocks, you have to build a pathway or else nobody knows it's there. Even though it's there, I'm not going to do it because it's not got a path, which is ridiculous.
Sounds like I know in that respect. I can't get into a bloody lumber place because there's no bloody roads, and I won't walk over the grass because I hurt my little feetsies, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Idiots.
Yeah, we've got no shoes. Can't do that. So, yeah, this is very much that way. But the looks of it is just like, yeah. So, unlike there, you can't replant trees. Or anything like that, which is a shame. Some resources
kind of sound like you're not too favorable.
I don't like it. I'm not favorable on it. Yeah,
I don't like it.
Okay. I don't like it.
That's okay.
You know, nice.
We're always around here. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, some people would love it because you know it reminds them of those type of games
back in the day
when we couldn't do better
back in the dark ages.
Back in the dark ages.
No, I like it better when you say when we couldn't do better.
some games
now they can't do better, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's games that are like this but are better, and like Banished, you know, that's really harsh but it's really there.
Yeah.
Your people can actually do things, sort of thing. But It is what it is. They don't claim it to be anything else. Yeah. It's to bring that nostalgic type of play back for people who want it. So those people are probably dusted their computers back into the museum and buried them. Not for me, that one, unfortunately.
All right.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Half of the art doesn't match on screen either. Like if you look at the buildings and the grass and the textures, some of it doesn't match, and it's just like they mix things together and It just looks messy. Like it doesn't look together.
Things aren't matching. Yeah. Kind of like what?
Yeah. So you got like 8-bit with a cartoony style building, which looks totally out of place. Well,
8-bit kind of all is cartoony, but you know, that's another
story. But it's like proper cartoony, 3D cartoony on top of a 2D thing. No, doesn't do it for me at all.
Okay.
But nice that you've thought of people that would want to play it.
All 10 of them.
Yeah. I'm sure they can remember where they put their machine to play it.
All right.
So, sorry.
I'm gonna skip the one of my stories, Trev, because I want you to get on yours. But I will talk about the second one, which I thought was pretty cool. This goes back to some tech news, so listen up. You've heard many times before where the connectors to the NVIDIA card, and back to NVIDIA, right? Were melting, like the actual plugs are melting or the wires are melting and fires and burn up your PC and everything else. Well, apparently there's going to be a new power supply or a new setup, or actually it's new software, to be honest. And they said the latest version of ASUS GPU Tweak 3 comes with a new feature. And they're calling it Power Detector Plus. And Power Detector Plus is going to warn you if any of the pins on your graphics cards, power connectors, have too many amps flowing through them. Okay, I saw your hand. I got it. That could lead to a scenario where the cable melts and, of course, you have problems and everything burns up and stuff. So I thought that was kind of neat, if it actually works. I mean,
yeah.
When they say, Tarl, I've got the exact same hoodie you do, man. I was a mug. But I never bought it. I get one of my family members to buy it as a gift. They're bloody expensive with the shipping and the VAT and stuff, man. Ridiculous.
They are,
Linus charges for his stuff is ridiculous.
But I figured that since I've got so much enjoyment out of a lot of their videos, it was worth giving them a bit of money. So
you've seen how much they charge for their backpacks? $250 US. I'm like, is that thing made out of bloody... the skin of Jesus Christ or something, man.
Those
like,
backpacks are really good, though. They're like proper high-end.
Doesn't matter if they're gold, man. It's $250. Just read it back to yourself.
How much was the hoodie then?
£50, £60, £50.
50, yeah, I think. Well, you're closer to 100 when see when you factor in shipping and VAT and all that. It comes closer to 100, I'm sure.
Yeah, it does.
But that's what stings you. You almost pay double because of all that. Instead of having, if he had a European plant or warehouse, it would be a lot cheaper. But he doesn't, so
anyway. I doubled up and got myself a screwdriver at the same time, so I didn't feel so bad about the shipping costs.
I like your screwdrivers, but I've got so many screwdrivers, so I was like, there's no point.
To be fair, it's a really good screwdriver. It's like
I do believe people reviewed it as well. We're waiting for Gray to come back because he's obviously stuck. I'm going to go over some hardware news at the moment, right? Because he's having technical issues. Now, I won't spend too long on this on purpose because it's another one you could go off and rant for ages. You know how Nintendo Switch 2 pre-orders went on kind of break in the US and then basically the whole of North America because the Canadians were a little bit scared that there would be more tariffs. So what basically they decided to do was pause the sales at the moment or the pre-orders until they figure out. Rumors are in the next week or so that we'll have something. I know there's going to be tariffs that won't affect some technology, but it won't include the Switch 2. So this $150, we generally don't know if they'll stick to this or not at the moment. The rumor is that Nintendo have been warned to expect 145% tariff on the Nintendo Switch 2, which means they probably will need to increase the price of the Switch 2. Now, we don't get here. We don't get any politics here in this show, really. But the saying of you reap what you sow is all I say to my folks, my pals over in the States. Gray isn't one of them, he knows that, but there are some people out there that did vote. So you reap what you sow, so this is what happens. Tariffs will go up. I feel sorry for the guys in the States because there's a lot of Nintendo fans over there that are going to get stung. I've had my pre-order in for over a week now, 2 weeks or something now. It's not affecting me or anyone else in Europe for that matter.
But Trev, this is going to affect us as well, because I've seen, not on this exactly, but I've seen a few articles where the UK and Europe companies have been putting the prices up to cover the tariffs in the US, but then they've also been putting the prices up in the UK and Europe as well, because it's easier to have a supply chain that's a single price. So we're going to get fucked regardless. So... Thanks, Donnie.
But yeah, it's this particular item. But you say, that doesn't affect us for us at the moment. We're pretty good there. Poor Grace, he's having a nightmare over there. So we'll see. I'm curious. I got mine secured for £430, including Mario Kart World as well. So I'm happy enough with that, to be honest with you. Now there was a bit of confusion when I spoke about this last week. That the Switch 2 edition. If there was a Switch 2 version of a game from a Switch 1, that if it came out on a cartridge, that the Switch 2 element of it would be DLC. Nintendo have come out and kiboshed that one. That is not true. That is fake news to talk about the Orange Man again. And everything will be on the disc, or the disc, the cartridge. It's the way it should be. That'd be madness. I still agree in physical media. Thank God for that. So I will get my... Tears of the Kingdom. I will get that next time, I think, to be honest here, and I'll get my Nintendo Online so I can play the upgraded version for free. It's not really free, but you know what I mean. I'll rattle through these things because they're kind of quicker things. Graves already mentioned the Ubisoft thing, to be honest here. But this is the disappointing thing, the knock-on thing from the tariffs. Now, we don't talk politics here, but then this is a knock-on effect for us as gamers, as hardware enthusiasts. It does. It really, really does. The PS5 Digital Edition price has been increased in UK, Europe and Australia for the second time. The console will now be £70 more or €100 more expensive than it originally was. To give you an idea, the PS5 Digital Edition now costs €500 in Europe, up from 450, and in the UK, the digital edition of the PS5 will be £430, up from £390. This is the second time Sony has raised the price of the digital edition. They won't touch, at least for now, the PS5 Pro, because it's already bloody £700 MSRP. But don't rule that one out. I think they just know that that's already expensive. You can get that edition cheaper if you do your research, guys, and kind of go online. You get up to 70-odd quid cheaper if you look around. The standard edition hasn't been touched, which is weird, because the digital is the cheapest version, to be fair with you. The price of the gaming pass, the PS Plus gaming pass has went up as well in multiple regions. I know this because I've got a second account, which is a Turkish account, and that's how I got my gaming pass for like way, way cheaper until 2028. Cheers, Sonny. Love you. There is downsides of that. Like, I don't get to keep those games once that goes, but I don't really care. The funny thing here was that the disc drive that comes that you can bolt onto the digital edition and the PS5 Pro, because the PS5 Pro is a digital edition without the drive. This was £100 when it first came out. And people were thinking, that's ridiculous, you couldn't get hold of one. I managed to get one because I still like physical media. I buy games secondhand for consoles and play them. They're cheaper that way, then sell them on again after. It was £100 and I thought, that's steep, but it's a Blu-ray player, if you think about it. That is a Blu-ray player. It plays Blu-rays. I can have some Blu-rays if I want them. Sony thought they'd sweeten the deal, they'd make things not so bad by lowering it down to £70. Oh, gee, thanks, Sony. That's very kind of you. Cheers.
Blessed. Yeah.
So, bless, exactly, Matt. So, everything's going up, right? And the reason for this is tariffs. Now, the ironic thing is, they're not increasing their prices in the States at the moment, even though that's the prime place to increase them, because they know how much of a problem this will be, right? I think they're just waiting to see what happens with Trump and the tariffs, if they'll settle down or not before they do it. Everyone's kind of holding fire just in case. So what Taro said a minute ago of us being affected by everything else, we are. Like, the Canadians are getting shafted because they are literally on the same continent as the Americans. They can't get the pre-orders in for their Switch 2.
Well, I don't
know. This all really sucks.
I don't know whether you've heard it before, but it's a 90-day hold on the tariffs, except for China. So the full tariffs are still in effect for China, but they've been held back 90 days now because everybody's been screaming, basically. Sorry, fans. I just want to let you know that we're cutting it short a little bit because there's been massive technical difficulties trying to do this. So, sorry.
Is there a pan at my shoulder? I just literally said that, did I not, boys?
I know. I'm just saying.
There's been technical problems. So.
I hate echo.
Out, so I want to make sure that it's in there.
Guys, I just wanted to give this announcement. We've had some technical issues, so we're going to be finishing early, okay?
Yeah. Matt, what tell us what's happening?
Well, apparently there are some problems going on. We may have to finish this podcast a little bit early.
No way.
Need some sound clips with Windows error sound going on. Yes. And
please,
then put it on every time. Great crashes.
Great.
Can we have, great. Can you also put a little crash counter up at the top corner, right? So every time you crash out, we'll have a little counter that goes up.
Yeah.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.